Bibles and turn to the book of Job, chapter number 39 and Isaiah 40. Job 39 and Isaiah 40. We're praying and asking the Lord to direct my heart and what He would have me to preach this morning. And believe that we're right where God would have us this morning. I pray that this would be of help to you. Isaiah chapter number 40, and then Job 39. Job 39, Isaiah 40. If you'll stand to honor the reading of God's Word. I want to begin this morning with a message that I just simply want to entitle, The Eagle Christian. The Eagle Christian. Job chapter number 39, the Word of God says this. It says, Doth the eagle mount up at thy command and make her nest on high? She dwelleth and abideth on the rock, under the crag of the rock and the strong place. From thence, from that strong place, from that rock, from that crag of the rock. From thence she seeketh the prey, and her eyes behold afar off. Her young ones also suck up blood, and where the slain are, there is she. Her young ones even know the value of the blood. I just got wobbly on that one. Amen. Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter number 40, a very familiar passage of Scripture. The very last verse, verse number 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I'm going to ask Brother Sam Jr., if he will, to lead us to the throne of God this morning. Amen. You may be seated this morning. Appreciate you standing to honor that precious word. When you study the Bible, you'll find many times throughout the Word of God that God will use things to try to help explain what our relationship with Him. He'll use, and as an example, I remember one time I was reading the book of Proverbs, and it said, Go to the ant, thy sluggard, and consider her ways. Well, I got to thinking about the ant, and so I went to the library, and I checked out a book on ants, and I read that book, and in that book, I saw many illustrations of what it means to go to the ant and consider ways. And when you read something like we've just read this morning in the Word of God, if you'll begin studying what He is talking about, He talks about the Christian mounting up with wings as eagles. And if you go and study the eagle, you'll find that there's many things that you can learn about our Christian walk. There's many things that you can learn about our relationship to God and His relationship to us. And I love studying things like that. I remember one time I read in the passage, it says, consider the lilies of the field. So I began studying about lilies and how that they come begin with just something up under the earth or just buried in the dirt. But yet the power of God springs life out of all that nastiness and dirt. And I found out some things about my life and about the Christian life by studying lilies. You remember one time the Lord said that we were His sheep. Whenever you study, whenever you read something like that, if you'll begin studying what He likens us to, you'll learn a lot about yourself. You'll learn a lot about your life. And that's what I want to do with this message this morning. We've read in two passages of Scripture, and there's about 34 passages of Scripture in the Word of God that deal directly with the eagle and what the eagle does. There's many things said about the eagle in the Word of God. I began looking at some things about the eagle some years ago and studying some things about the eagle. I picked up some books about the eagle and read them and started learning some things about the eagle. And I want to try to preach that to you in a way that maybe will help some of you this morning. I know this. I know that in the Christian life that we all struggle with things down here on this earth. I know that we all have problems. We all have situations. We all have temptations and things that we struggle with in our lives. But that does not change what the Word of God says. It said, if we'll wait on the Lord, said, we shall mount up with wings as eagles. I got interested in those wings and how the eagle is able to fly and what makes the eagle fly the way that it does. And I began studying some things about the eagle. I found out that there's probably over 60 species of eagles. I particularly like the one called the bald eagle. Amen. And then there's the golden eagle. There's the harpy eagle. There's the stellar sea eagle. There's the booted eagle and the crested eagle and the spotted eagle and the black eagle and the sea eagle. And it goes on and on and on of all these different species of eagles. And you know, every one of us in this room, we come from different walks of life. We come from different backgrounds. We come from different cultures, different families, different surroundings that made us what we are. But we're all that are saved. We've been called eagles in the Word of God. And He wants us to soar with wings as eagles. He wants all of His people to be able to know how to live this Christian life to the fullest. Man, I'm telling you, the more that I go in this thing, the more I want to live the Christian life in its fullest. I'm thankful to be saved. I'm thankful to be a child of God. I'm thankful that He saved me, washed me in His blood, made me what I am today. I'm not all that I should be, but thank God I'm not what I used to be. If you knew me on the other side of Calvary, you wouldn't even like me. But thank God I came to a place in my life where I bowed my knees to Jesus Christ and got birthed into the family of God. And I'm thankful to be saved by the grace of God today. Well, He tells us that if we'll wait upon the Lord, said we shall mount up with wings as eagles. I looked up some of those words just to get a kind of a word picture in my mind of what it means to wait upon the Lord. It means to tarry, to look for, to patiently abide, to expect. And you know, if we do exactly what the Word of God tells us to do, if we expect God to show up, if we patiently wait for the Lord, if we look for the Lord, He will be found of us. You know where we go wrong so many of times? We don't bother looking for the Lord. We think that there's no help. But may I say, dear child of God, that there is help for every child of God. I'm thankful for the devotion that we started out with this morning, that the Lord would never leave us nor forsake us. Hallelujah. I'm glad to know this, that there's not a moment of my life or of your life that we'll walk through anything down here that God is not right there with us. Amen. He walks through things with us. He walks in things with us. He walks around things with us. He's over us. He's around us. He's in us. And God has promised that He will always be there. I know when I get in trouble is when I think to myself that I'm in this all alone. alone. And you say, oh, I've never done that. How many of us in this room have tried to handle situations without even praying? Have tried to handle things on our own without even looking for God to show up on our behalf? May I remind you, dear child of God, that we are not alone. That God is with His people. That God has promised that He will always be with us. And He said, if we'll wait, if we'll tarry, if we'll look for, if we'll expect, if we'll patiently abide, He said that we would mount up with wings as eagles, that we would run and not get weary. I'm about to get happy. Amen. He said that that would be the way that our life would be if we would wait on the Lord. I began looking in the Word of God of what it says about some things about the eagle. It mentions their wings. It mentions the face of the eagle. It mentions the nest of the eagle. It mentions the feathers and the swiftness. And I got real happy about this. It did mention the baldness of the eagle. Amen. Some heads, God is so perfect, God went ahead and exposed them. Amen. He talks about how the eagle will stir its nest, and there's a whole message in that. He talks about how that they will haste to the prey. And he talks about the eagle's eyes. He talks about the eagle's, I can't even read my own writing, of the eagle and its heaviness at times in its life. And I want to preach this morning and try to help all of us to see what God expects us to be in this life. I want to preach for a little while on this thought, on the eagle Christian. I want to begin by talking about the eagle's position in life. The eagle's position. How that the eagle is like no other bird. You know, we've got many things in life that we call the king of certain things. We've got the lion as the king of beasts. And he is. I've studied the life of a lion, and there's so much to learn about a lion. And the devil is a roaring lion, goes about as a roaring lion. And you can learn a lot about our enemy, but then you can learn a lot about the Lord by studying the lion. And the lion is the king of beasts, the wild beast. Then you think about this. You think about we've been told about the king cobra being the king of the serpentine class of animals. And I've studied about the cobra and some things concerning the cobra to learn some things about the enemy that we have in our lives. Then you think about it. I even thought about this. We've got a cat at home. Her name is Isabel, and I guess that cat would be the king of the domesticated animal. I call her Osama bin Isabel. She's a terrorist. And no matter where you're at in the house and at different times, you'll be walking through the house and out of nowhere, she'll spring out of nowhere and latch onto your leg and just hang there while you're bleeding and wondering what just attacked me. Then after she gets the blood flowing good from your leg, then she'll take off and want you to chase her. And I do. Amen. She's the king, the queen of the domesticated animals. If you don't believe it, come to 4467 Enfield Drive and you'll find out about this animal. Amen. But there's many animals and we call them the king of that class of animal. But when you get to thinking about birds and you'll read this, that they are considered to be the king of the bird family. They are the highest of highs. They are the greatest of the great of all birds that's ever been looked at and studied and considered in life. And the eagle holds a unique position for all of its majesty and power and the liberty that eagle enjoys. And when you get to considering the eagle and the position that it holds, you get to thinking about this, that our nation has used the eagle as the emblem of our nation. I read some things about that, and I read this about the eagle. It said that during the Revolutionary War, it said that early one morning at the break of dawn, one of the first battles of the Revolutionary War began, and shots began ringing out, and a lot of noise was made, and they didn't know it, but there was a nest of eagles close to that site of that battle. And all of that noise awakened those eagles, and the eagles mounted up with their wings and started flying through the heavens. And it said she began shrieking. They began shrieking at the top of their voices. And it said that the eagles seemed to be saying, "Give me peace. Give me peace. Give me peace." And the eagle has been known for its majesty and its authority and its freedom that it enjoys. It's unlimited freedom. You see, an eagle has freedoms that we don't really realize. It can fly above the storms. It can soar above all of the situations that are going on. Oh, hallelujah. It can soar above all the situations. And may I say this morning, when we wait on the Lord, when we expect the Lord, when we look for the Lord, when we wait on Him, we will mount up with wings as eagles and soar above our situations. May I say this, I'm not lowering anybody, but I'm exalting what God exalts. And He said, we are the people of His eye. We are the apple of His eye. He said about His people that we are a priesthood, a royal priesthood, a nation unto God, a chosen generation. And may I remind you who we are as the people of God. We're not begging. We're not beggars down here, but we are children of Almighty God, just passing through this world, headed to a better place. Glory to God. I'm thankful that I belong to God Almighty. Amen and amen. The eagle has been noted. They said one of the reasons that they made the eagle the emblem of our nation. And by the way, it was officially set as a seal of authority on the Great Seal of the United States. You'll find that eagle sitting there because the eagle represents long life. I might as well preach to myself. Brother John, that eagle represents long life. Amen, preacher. That's great. Amen. May I say this morning, that we've been given eternal life in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad my life is not dependent on my goodness or my good works, but it's on the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God the blood is still there, and we have long life because of our Savior. That eagle also has been set as the seal of the United States because of the great strength that it has. I may preach another message along these lines, I don't know, but in the early days of an eagle, whenever the female and the male are courting, you young ladies, listen to me, that aren't married. Whenever the female and the male are courting, that female will take up, she'll start with something real light, maybe like a little twig, and she'll fly up there in the heavens. And that male will follow that female everywhere in a circle around, just following that female. And then all of a sudden, at no given time, she'll drop whatever she's got in her mouth, and it begins with something real light. And that male wanting to prove to her that he's able to take care of her, he'll swoop down and grab that twig and come back and present it to her. And she don't even care nothing about the twig. She'll come back down to the earth and she'll get something a little bit heavier. And she'll fly back to the heavens, and then the chase is on again. And then she'll drop that little whatever it is, and she'll eventually get a log. I mean, they're that strong. She'll get a log. And she'll go up there with that log, and she'll fly around with that log, and then she'll drop. You see, she don't want somebody that ain't willing to work. Amen. You don't need a bum for your husband. Can I get an amen right there? She don't want somebody unwilling to work and make sure that she's taken care of. And she'll drop that log and he'll swoop down and grab hold of that log with those talons and come back up there, and she don't care nothing about it. You know what she's doing? She's preparing for the day that they get married, because one day she's going to kick those youngins out of that nest, and it's going to be up to Daddy to swoop down and get those youngins before they hit the ground. He's built up those talons through the years, and he's strong. And that bird, I'll get into that a little bit more in just a minute, that bird has developed strength unusual to any bird. Another reason that it is said is on the seal of our great, great United States of America is because of its majestic looks. Amen. Brother Stacy saying amen. Preach it, brother. Amen. Amen. He looked in the mirror this morning. Amen. Because of its majestic looks. And I don't know about you. I don't know what God would see in us. But when He looks at us, He says, they are special to me. Oh, hallelujah, child of God. I want you to understand something. That God sees in us what we can't see. Oh, we look down on this one or look down on that one. But we are the creatures of Almighty God. We are, hallelujah, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. The church is not going down. She's going up one day into the heavens. And He says, I want you to man up with wings as eagles. Amen. She said, "Is this on the great seal of the United States because of her authority? She rules the skies." But then finally, she said, "Is the emblem of our nation because she represents freedom?" I'm glad that I've been set free in Christ. I served this world for 29 years. I served sin for 29 years. But one day the Master stepped into my life, broke the chains of sin that had this grip on me, broke the bondage of sin. And now I can fly. I can soar in life because Jesus has broken the bonds and chains of sin in my life and in your life. The eagle's position, majestic in flight. Cars are made to ride, boats are made to float, but an eagle is made to fly. And children of God, we are made to soar in the heavens with Jesus Christ. The majesty in flight, majesty in that she's fearless. I tried to capture it, but I could not capture it off the website that I was on. There was a picture of a cameraman out there taking some pictures of eagles, and the mama eagle didn't like it. And I got a picture of that mama eagle swooping down and hitting that cameraman from behind. He dropped his camera and everything. Just absolutely fearless. Will not put up with anything that threatens it. You know what we would do good in our churches and in our homes again? Anything that threatens our homes, we should show fearlessness against it. Amen. If something threatens your children, you moms and dads need to realize that we have a strength from above, that we have an authority from above, and we need to come against anything that would threaten our homes and our churches. Its mind is set on things above. The Bible tells us, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The Bible tells us, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above and not the things of this earth. As I said in the beginning of this message, too many times we as children of God, we get so defeated and we get so despondent. We get so discouraged. We get so downtrodden because we look at it from down here. All we can see is the troubles. All we can see are the problems. All we can see is the things that's going on in our life. But the Bible says if you'll wait,
if you'll wait on the Lord, if you'll look for the Lord, if you'll expect the Lord, if you'll call on the Lord, we can mount up with wings as eagles. We can rise above the problems. We can rise above all the trials. We can rise above all those things that trouble us down here. I'm glad that the Lord has given us wings as eagles in the Christian life. That's the eagle's position, but I want us to consider the eagle's power. The eagle's power. He gets his power, number one, from his food source. Unlike some birds that will feast on little seeds, worms and berries, unlike vultures who live at the roadkill cafe, they do not want to feast on any. You know why vultures circle before they come down? I studied vultures too. I want to learn something about vultures. Do you know why vultures circle so long before they finally come down on something to eat? Because they want to make sure it's dead before they come down and feast on it. They're looking for the smell of death, and they want to eat on something dead. And they'll eat so much dead stuff till it'll make them vomit. But then they'll go right back for the next dead thing. Kind of reminds me of some of the worldlings. They feast on things that are dead till it makes them just vomit. But yet they go right back to the thing that made them vomit. But you know what the eagle does? The eagle doesn't want dead things to feast on. It wants living. It wants living food. May I remind you that we have the Word of God, which is alive and sharp and sharper than any two-edged sword. It is alive. I can't feast on the things of this world. This world does nothing for me anymore, but I can pick up this book. You know why some of you are having trouble? It's because you've laid the book down. You've laid our food source down. You've laid down what causes us to mount up with wings as eagles. That's why you're so troubled with what's going on down here. You've left the book alone. Pick the book back up. It's alive. It's a food source. It'll cause you to get back up the way God wants you to. The eagle's power comes from his food source. They love. As a matter of fact, they find their own food. They don't come and scavenger off of some other animal that's called an animal. They go and they get their own food. You know what would help all of you? Don't wait till the preacher tells you to turn to such and such a passage. But go to this living food on your own and get your own food out of it. And say, God, I need something. God, I want you to speak to me. I want you to talk to me. This book is still alive, and it'll still work in anybody's life that'll believe it. It'll still work in anybody's life that'll come to it. This book is alive. This past week, I had the opportunity, and I was so blessed. I was so blessed. The Christian Academy wanted me to teach on the Word of God and teach why we believe the King James Bible is the Word of God. And so I had all week to spend with them and teach them some things. And I'll be honest with you, we had a Bible revival in that little academy. I mean, kids were coming up to me asking me, Brother John, where's that at now? Where can I find that? And I was showing them, and they were going to the Word of God and believing that the Word of God was real again. May I say this morning? We all need a Bible revival. You need to spend time on a daily basis in this life. There's more to life. Hallelujah. There's more to life than what Obama's doing to this nation. There's more in life than what's going on in Congress. There's more to life than Washington, D.C. Thank God. There's more to life than what ABC's got to tell us and NBC and Fox News. Thank God there's good news from a far country that'll help you mount up with wings as eagles and soar above the problems of this life. You say, are you worried about this country? No. This country's in God's hands. You say, are you concerned? Yes, I'm concerned, and I'm going to do my part. I'm going to vote. I don't mean to get political right here, but I think I'll just help myself. If you're not registered to vote, U.S. citizen, get registered and vote. Make your voice known. Amen. Well, back to the message. We got to mount up with wings as eagles. The eagle's power comes from his food source, but the eagle's power comes from the force of those talons. Those talons are huge. They're probably bigger than Jack Hayflick's fingers. And longer, too. I mean, they are huge. But those talons didn't just come by accident. They had to be developed over the years. When that little eaglet is born, that nest, and they build huge nests. I mean, they're massive nests that they build. They can weigh hundreds of pounds by the time they get constructed. And that nest is lined with feathers. And those little eaglets, they just sit around in that nest, and they're ugly and they're unbecoming, and they just sit around that nest and they just wait for mom and dad to bring us food, you know, and they're comfortable and they just wait, and mom and dad show up and they open them mouths, you know, wah, 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 you know, and they eat what mom and dad bring to it. But one day mama comes home with this wild look in her eyes. I remember them looks. Mama comes home with this wild look in her eyes, and she comes up and she spreads out her wings like this, and those little eaglets are wondering, what on earth is mom about to do? And I mean, that wing spread of an eagle is massive. And she begins flapping those wings and creating a tornado in the nest. And all of those feathers begin just leaving the nest. And all that's left are those sticks exposed in the nest. Now they start sticking those little eaglets. And those little eaglets get hurt from those sticks and all that's in that nest. And so they have to start standing on what's hurting them. They have to start standing on what's hurting them. And those little feet, those little talons, they're not used to standing. They're used to just laying around. But now they're having to start stand on their own. You know, everything that God puts us through, He does it for a reason. He'll remove all the feathers and get something to start hurting our lives. But He wants us to stand there. He wants us to learn how to stand and see the goodness of God in our lives. He's really doing it for our better. And we know that all things work together for good, to them that love God, to them that are the called according to His purpose. Everything that you're going through, child of God, is there for a reason. It's not an accident. It's not just the enemy. God is there to make you stronger in your life. Hey, I'm here to tell you this morning, those things that you think are just about to crush you and stick you through, God is there to make you strong with those things. God is allowing those things to make you stronger. And those talons begin developing, and they wrap around that stick that they're seated upon. And they began to learn how to support their own weight. They are no longer going to look for a handout. They're about to learn how to fly. Mama gets all of those feathers out of that nest. Daddy has brought home some tin cans and golf balls that he's found for toys. She starts picking them up and slinging them out of the nest. She's house cleaning. She's spring cleaning. And she gets everything out of that nest so that there's nothing but things that will hurt them, stick in them. But she's more interested in their maturity than she is their comfort. And mom, after some days, she comes home and now she's got an even wilder look. This time, it's on. She raises them wings and there's nothing left to leave that nest except the eaglets. And she begins flapping those wings. And they begin moving back from mama. And they get out there to the edge. And some of those nests are built somewhere from 8 to 10,000 feet in the air. And there's mama flapping those wings and she's shrieking at them. And she's shrieking at them. She's trying her best to make an eagle out of her little eaglets. She's trying her best to get them to where they'll do what they were born to do, and that is to fly. And she flaps her wings, and those little eaglets begin calling on mama, 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 mama. And she keeps flapping those wings, and finally she gets and she just brushes them out of that nest. Those little eaglets begin their journey downward. Little do they know, but daddy's up overhead, been circling, watching everything that was going on, watching everything that's happening and transpiring in that nest. May I say that his eye is always on his people. And he watches that those little eaglets as they begin falling one by one. And then out of nowhere, just in the nick of time, daddy swoops down. You see, that's what all that little playtime was that was going on. She wanted to make sure that daddy could catch things before they hit the ground. And daddy swoops down and he bears them up under them, and he swoops down up under them, and they land on the back of daddy. His massive wingspan and his body is so huge that he catches every one of them just before they hit the ground. May I remind you that we're not going to hit the ground with our father around. May I remind you that we're going up one day, child of God. Lift up your heads, because we are the children of the living God. Listen to me. God knows what He's doing in all of our lives. See, we sometimes forget that God knows what He's doing. Oh man, I don't know whether I need to go to this next point or not. Deb, close your eyes, because we're going to talk about the eagle's perils. My wife is definitely scared of snakes. And last night when I was working on this, I had to get liberty from the Holy Ghost to put that picture up there. But He told me it'd be okay. It may not be okay when I get home. When my wife, I'll explain to you, when my wife was a little girl, she's got an older sister. She's mean. Been mischievous all her life. And she would... Their mother worked and they had chores to do. Well, Linda, the older sister, you know, the older ones are always the mean ones. I get myself in the most trouble while I'm preaching. Well, Linda would go get the S encyclopedia and turn to the pictures of snakes and chase Debbie around the house saying, "These snakes are going to get you if you don't do my chores." And to this day, my wife has got snakophobia. I don't know what you call it, but she don't like snakes. Because of where the eagle lives, it only has one main enemy. Because of where the child of God lives, we've only got one main enemy. And Brother George, you're not it. Brother Stanley, you're not it. You're not my enemy. Stace, you're not me. Kim, you are definitely not my enemy. I'm not yours either. We're not each other's enemies. We are children together of the child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Our enemy is Satan. We know who our enemy is. And we all have that common element today. And we all battle him. You see, the snake can get into those crags of the rocks and those crevices. And he tries to come. And there's two times that the eagle is most vulnerable. When he's alone. Have you ever been by yourself and the devil show up? Get to riding your mind and telling you there ain't no hope for you? Enemy ever showed up and began speaking to you and telling you, God don't love you anymore. God don't care about you anymore. Oh, I've heard that voice time and time again. But the eagle has two defenses. The first defense he has is called pecking. And the snake comes up to the eagle and presents himself, and the eagle just starts pecking with his beak. You know, you understand what I'm saying, with his beak. Pecking. And first it'll start pecking right in front of that snake. And you know what? I can't help but to think of that pecking be the Word of God. You remember how Jesus Christ withstood the, and the Bible tells us to resist the enemy. You know how Jesus Christ pecked at the enemy? It is written. It is written. Satan come up and get messing with you. He don't love you. He said, he said he loved the church and gave himself for it. Says, God don't know about you. God don't know about your problems. God, and we'll say, the Bible says that he's promised. He's promised. He's promised. He's promised that he'll never leave us nor forsake us. And you start pecking back at that old serpent. Amen. But then, not if the eagle's not able to handle his own with the enemy, there's another defense that he's got. It's a father. I'm glad to know when I can't handle what I'm going through. I'm glad to know when I just cannot handle the situation on my own. I'm glad to know when the serpent gets to raising up in my life so big and I wonder how am I going to make it through. I'm glad my Heavenly Father, He comes right on time and He takes care of the enemy on my behalf. He's always taking care of the enemy. He took care of the enemy at Calvary. He'll take care of the enemy on your behalf. Thank God, our Father, He will take care of the enemy. The enemy is not going to destroy our lives. Because we belong to the heavenly eagle. The eagle's peril. Let's get off of that one. Quickly. Sir. And I'll make restitution. But I want to talk about the eagle's peculiarities. He does a weird thing called preening. Preening, I've given this picture because of his daily activities. He's flying and he's swooping down and he's dumping himself into bodies of water to catch food, and he's coming out. And because of all of his flight and all of his interaction with the earth down here, he gets dirty. And the first thing that he does every morning is he preens himself. And he'll take every one of his feathers and pull it through his beak. And as he pulls those feathers through his beak, he exhausts air and kind of steam cleans himself. And the first thing that he does every day of his life is he gets himself clean. I'm glad we've got a way of keeping ourselves clean. I'm glad the blood still works in our lives. You see, I got under the blood the day I got saved. But I've been being washed in the blood every day of my life. We get dirty down in this world. We get things in our minds that shouldn't be there. But I'm telling you, there's still power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it'll take that nastiness out of your life. He preens himself. And then he's ready for the day. But then another thing that makes him so peculiar, the next one, is his powerful eyes. The eagle's eyes have two eyelids. One's translucent, the inner eyelid, and it's continually wiping his eyes so that he can always clearly see. He flies in such altitudes that there's so much dust and all that gets in his eyes. That membrane washes over his eyes all the time to where he can clearly see. He can see so far off that set at 10,000 feet in the air, he can see a rabbit a mile away. and see that rabbit clearly. Children of God, we've got the long look. We can see further than this. This world thinks that it ends in Washington. But I can see further. I can see further. I can see. I know where I've been. I know where I'm at. But thank God I know where I'm going. I know. Hallelujah. I know that there's a place called heaven. And I know when I lay this earthly body down, I know that the spirit and soul of me is going to soar beyond beyond all of the horizons of this universe. And I'm going to go into the very presence of God forever and ever and ever. Did you know that that eagle's eyes are so fixed in his head that he can see where he's at all times, and he can also see what's ahead at all times? He knows where he's at, and he knows where he's headed at all times. That's the way his eyes are so constructed. He has the most powerful eyesight. His vision is so acute that it is four times more powerful than 20/20 vision of a human being. And I'm glad that I can see afar off. I'm glad that I can see what God is doing in this world. I'm glad I don't have to depend on what other people tell me. But I'm glad I can see afar off by faith and know that everything's going to be all right. His powerful eyes is preening, but then the next peculiarity about this, he presents himself. There's something that happens to the eagle three times in life. One time is when he's molting and he begins changing, and things begin changing in his life, and he don't really understand what he's going through, but he does a thing called presenting himself. And I'll explain that in just a minute. And there's another time that he'll present himself. It's when he gets sick. When he takes on maybe some type of ailment, and he'll come and present himself. And then the third time that he'll present himself will be at death. Those three times. And what he does, when he presents himself, he'll go to the highest rock formation that he can find. And he'll find him a good flat spot. And he'll go and he'll settle on that rock place. And he'll lay down and stretch himself. And he'll totally just prostrate himself out there before the Lord on that rock. And stretch out those wings. Then once he has humbled himself, because of his unusual eyesight, he can look up and he can stare directly at the sun, and it don't hurt his eyes. That inner membrane will cover over and kind of filter it, and he'll look directly at the sun as if receiving warmth and strength from the sun. And he'll just lay there and present himself until either that sickness or his molting or either his death comes. You know what that I picture that as? Us humbling ourselves when we get sick. And oh, children of God, we do get sick. We get physically sick, but I'm more concerned about the spiritual sickness. Some of God's people today, we get sick spiritually and we're not well spiritually. We're not where we used to be with the Lord. We're not things of the Lord, just don't really. You're spiritually sick when you get there. And we need to do like that eagle and come and present ourselves and look directly at not the S-U-N, but the S-O-N. And present ourselves to Him and say, Lord, I'm sick. I've been going through so many physical transitions in my life lately. Honestly, I've not understood a lot of the things that I've been going through physically. And there's something now going on in my life that I've not really told the church, but it's a physical situation that they're trying to get to the bottom of and trying to figure out what they're going to do on my behalf. In so many words, I have no immune system. That's why I'm always developing the sinus infections. I have nothing to defend against anything physically in that regard. And to be honest with you, I've not felt the best at certain times. Yesterday I had a terrible day. I told my wife, I said, Deb, I just don't feel good. And I couldn't help it. I wanted to. You know me. I love being up. But I just had one of those days. And I got along with the Lord yesterday. And I said, Lord, I said, I don't feel good. I sure wish you would touch me. I just came and presented myself to the Lord. And I said, dear God, I said, I want to go to church so bad tomorrow. If I can just get to the house of God. Sundays are my best day. I love Sundays. I love being able to go to the house of God. I love just getting around God's people and God's music and God's singing. And I love getting around the things of God. And I just love being there. And I said, dear God, I want so bad to be able to go to the house of God. And I said, Lord, if you would you just empower me with your strength? Would you just empower me, Lord, with your touch and your power? I got up this morning. I felt great. I felt wonderful. Not that I'm trying to run off of feelings. But I found a place in my life where I just had to come and present myself. You see, I don't want the things of this life to overcome me. I want God to overcome my life. I want to wait on the Lord. I want to look to Him. I want to expect from Him. I want to wait on the Lord and mount up with wings as eagles, that I might fly like I've been called to do. I'll close with this. Julie, y'all come to the piano and get ready with it. Let's just have music this morning. We won't bother singing anything. Guys, if y'all come and back her up with our... We've got a great music... I call them the band. These guys, I'm telling you what, they sit over there and you won't never hear nothing out of them except their basses and guitars. They do such a great job. I read this, and I want to close with this. The eagle has learned to fly through many things in its life. Many, many variables have entered into that eagle's life. And it learns, it doesn't flap its wings that much. It'll flap them when it begins to get off of the ground. But then it has so learned the currents that it learns to use those currents to mount up higher and higher, to where it gets to the point where it said that they can actually stay up there for hours and never flap a wing. They just enjoy the heavens that much. And they enjoy the currents that God sends their way. I got some pictures of some eagles just sitting out on a post. They're sitting there in those talons, and there's just a single post sticking up. And right on the very top of that post, those talons are dug into that post, and there they stand. And it's said about the eagles, said a storm can arise. And because of where those eagles are, they can see that storm approaching. They look down, and all the other animals are scurrying and running and trying their best to get away from that storm and get ahead of the storm. And the eagle just sits there. Just sits there. The storm don't frighten it. It waits till the storm gets close enough to kick up some currents around it. And then it just spreads its wings and launches and starts riding the currents of that storm and keeps climbing higher and higher and higher till it rises above the storm. And then it literally looks down at the storm. And I can just almost hear that eagle say, thank God I'm an eagle. I'm glad I'm not a little rabbit running along the ground trying to get away. Thank God I'm an eagle. Child of God, I guess I've said all that I've said this morning just to remind you that God wants us to mount up with wings as eagles. Things down on this earth, they weary us. They wear us out. And I don't know what some of the struggles, I don't know what some of the situations that are in your life right now. But the Bible has said if we'll wait, if we'll look, if we'll expect on the Lord, we'll mount up with wings as eagles. We'll run and not get weary. We'll walk and we won't faint. Let's all stand.